Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to a few thoughts on e-learning. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about memes and the idea of memes in political propaganda. So let's look at the interesting phenomenon of Barack Obama. Let's talk about the meme from Obama superstar to Obama as cult. When memes collide. If the Obama media advisors and spin doctors are in fact planting swooners at Obama's rallies in order to further the Obama rock star meme, it's starting to backfire. Another powerful and rapidly disseminating meme is taking its place, Obama as cult. Pundits are going beyond coining such phrases as Obamapalooza and Obamamania and are inserting powerful triggering words and phrases such as drink the Kool-Aid, allusions to Germany's Third Reich and the orchestrated spectacles of Nietzsche-inspired mass rallies filmed by Leni Riefenstahl are being invoked, and the utopia turns dystopia meme is festering, just waiting to burst forth. It would be a masterstroke to convert Obama's message of euphoric hope and dreams to that of fear of a messianic cult leader. If this happens, the vision will invert itself and move from that of an inclusive, racially unified world where everyone has access to education, decent housing opportunity. Obama will cease to be an embodiment of the American dream. The new meme, Obama as cult, could trigger visions of bloated bodies, Jonestown, and a voiceover of the original People's Temple notions of a perfect world, free of racism and poverty. The truth is, Obama's inspiring speeches, devoid of much real substance, contain echoes of almost every recent utopian vision, including those such as Heaven's Gate, Jonestown, Waco, and others, that turned dystopian. This makes his Obama superstar presence an extremely risky gamble. It's just too easy to flip over to the Obama as cult, especially since we know so little about him. An article in the San Francisco Chronicle, published in 1998, contained a retrospective of the 1978 Jonestown mass suicide tragedy, in which 913 people drank poisoned grape Kool-Aid at the behest of their charismatic messianic cult leader, Jim Jones, and died. Written by Larry Hatfield and entitled Utopian Nightmare, Jonestown, What Did We Learn?, the article discusses the way that a beautiful idealistic philosophy and vision turned terribly, terribly toxic due to the fact that the leader was mentally ill and the followers brainwashed and trapped. The fact that messianic leaders in the 20th century have tended to be mentally ill, as are some of the celebrities we fetishize, even the Obama rock star superstar meme has its risks. For a campaign to play up the media's tendency to succumb to a paparazzi frenzy evokes Britney Spears, not healthy state heroes. That said, there are even more malignant memes percolating in the blogosphere these days with respect to the kind of campaign that Obama is running. The message of racial harmony, peace, and love brings to mind that we do not live in a racially harmonious world, and the Jenna 6 situation happened in 2007. Further, with the get-tough anti-immigration laws, there have been cases of hate crimes and harassment to people of Mexican descent. Racial strife leading to the disintegration of American society was, in fact, a cornerstone of Charles Manson's ideas. Needless to say, the 1960s and 70s contained a pervasive undercurrent of racial apocalypse. We're seeing that again in other memes as well. Joan Didion's introspective, insightful, yet deeply unsettling writings from the White Album, itself an allusion to the Beatles' White Album, a chaotic helter-skelter, and the Manson murders chronicled in a book of the same name, are widely anthologized and read by youth in first-year composition classes. In Bed, an essay in the collection, is a reflection on her migraines, and it suggests a Southern California a seething cauldron meme, which we are seeing echoed in the mortgage crisis of East L.A., Inland Empire, and in continuing racial conflict. Dreams of racial harmony have been turned on their heads all too many times for us to naively suppose that the message can move forth unmediated. Other memes are generated when blogs openly discuss their fear for Obama's safety and draw parallels between him and Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The fact that Obama was not descended from slaves is glossed over. While Obama's ancestors did have agrarian roots, they were not forced to endure the brutality of American slavery. Obama's grandfather was a wealthy farmer of the Luo tribe in Kenya, and Obama's father grew up very privileged, even going to college in Hawaii. The differences are ignored in the Obama as Martin Luther King Jr. reincarnated meme, which is dangerous and problematic, to say the least. It is also offensive to Americans, but whether or not a meme is offensive is beside the point. Memes exist, and they proliferate. Where is Karl Rove when you need him? Where is Lee Atwater, the genius between the anti-Dukakis, Willie Horton revolving doors ads? It is important that before he died young of a brain tumor, Lee Atwater was eventually very sorry for his role in feeding fear and hatred. Presidential campaigns, however, tend to play on fear. Here's the infamous Daisy Girl Nuke television spot from the Lyndon Baines Johnson 1964 presidential campaign. The euphoria-inducing Obama memes are starting to move into fear territory. That is natural. Presidential political campaigns tend to play on fear. Once we start looking at memes, it's a bit hard to stop. However, the key lesson is fairly straightforward. Memes are in play in presidential campaign politics. They will continue to evolve and shape the consciousness of all those who come in contact with them. Perception is important, and memes affect perception. Whether or not someone can channel Lee Atwater or employ Karl Rove may determine how effectively memes are created, deployed, and managed within the campaigns. This is Susan Smith Nash, and you've been listening to Thoughts on E-Learning. And I'd like to say that when I defended my PhD dissertation in 1966 on the use of the apocalyptic narrative by messianic leaders, I had no idea that the topic would continue to be relevant and so applicable to many people, many times, and occasions in our world. It is, in a word, scary. Thank you for listening. This is Suzanne Smith Nash, and you've been listening to Thoughts on E-Learning.